Since the most ancient times, the church believes that Jesus descended into hell, something that we state in the Apostles' Creed, and St. Paul says it in Ephesians 4, verses 9 through 10. We believe this happened after he died on Good Friday and on Holy Saturday. Wouldn't it be amazing if we could see this for ourselves? Guess what? We can. 400 years ago and 200 years ago, two different mystics, Venerable Mary of Agreda and Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, had visions of these events, and they are amazing. Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich is the one on whose visions the Passion was based. She even has a prophecy for our own time about when Satan was unchained, something that's also mentioned in the book of Revelation. I will mention both of these at the very end. If you would like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's dive right in. When Jesus, after uttering a loud cry, expired, I saw his heavenly soul under the form of a bright meteor pierce the earth at the foot of the cross, accompanied by the angel Gabriel and many other angels. His divine nature continued united to his soul as well as to his body, which still remained hanging upon the cross. But I cannot explain how this was, although I saw it plainly in my own mind. The place into which the soul of Jesus entered was divided into three parts, which appeared to me like three worlds, and I felt that they were round and that each division was separated from the other by a hemisphere. I beheld a bright and beautiful space opposite to limbo. It was enameled with flowers, delicious breezes wafted through it, and many souls were placed there before being admitted into heaven after their deliverance from purgatory. Limbo, the place where the souls were waiting for the redemption, was divided into different compartments and encompassed by a thick, foggy atmosphere. Our Lord appeared radiant with light and surrounded by angels who conducted him triumphantly between two of these compartments, the one on the left containing the patriarchs who lived before the time of Abraham, and then on the right those who lived between the days of Abraham and Saint John the Baptist. These souls did not at first recognize Jesus, but were filled nevertheless with sensations of joy and hope. There was not a spot in these narrow confines which did not, as it were, dilate with feelings of happiness. The passage of Jesus might be compared to the wafting of a breath of air, to a sudden flash of light, or to a shower of vivifying dew, but it was swift as a whirlwind. After passing through the two compartments, he reached a dark spot in which Adam and Eve were standing. He spoke to them, they prostrated and adored him in a perfect ecstasy of joy. And they immediately joined the band of angels and accompanied our Lord to the compartment on the left, which contained the patriarchs who lived before Abraham. This compartment was a species of purgatory, and a few evil spirits were wandering about among the souls and endeavoring to fill them with anxiety and alarm. The entrance through a species of door was closed, but the angels rapped, and I thought I heard them say, "Open these doors." When Jesus entered in triumph, the demons dispersed, crying out at the same time, "What is there between thee and us? What art thou come to do here? Will thou crucify us likewise?" The angels hunted them away, having first chained them. The poor souls confined in this place had only a slight presentiment and vague idea of the presence of Jesus. But the moment he told them that it was he himself, they burst out into acclamations of joy and welcomed him with hymns of rapture and delight. The soul of our Lord then wended its way to the right, toward the part which really constituted limbo. And there he met the soul of the good thief, which the angels were carrying to Abraham's bosom, as also that of the bad thief being dragged by demons into hell. Our Lord addressed a few words to both and then entered Abraham's bosom, accompanied by numerous angels and holy souls, and also by those demons who had been chained and expelled from the compartment. This locality appeared to me more elevated than the surrounding parts, and I can only describe my sensations on entering it by comparing them to those of a person coming suddenly into the interior of a church after having been for some time in the burial vaults. The demons who were strongly chained were extremely loath to enter and resisted to the utmost of their power. But the angels compelled them to go forwards. All the just who had lived before the time of Christ were assembled there. The patriarchs, Moses, the judges, and the kings on the left-hand side, and on the right side, the prophets and the ancestors of our Lord, as also his near relations such as Joachim, Anna, Joseph, Zacharias, Elizabeth, and John. There were no demons in this place, and the only discomfort that had been felt by those placed there was a longing desire for the accomplishment of the promise. And when our Lord entered, they saluted him with joyful hymns of gratitude and thanksgiving for its fulfillment. They prostrated and adored him, and the evil spirits who had been dragged into Abraham's bosom when our Lord entered were compelled to confess with shame that they were vanquished. Many of these holy souls were ordered by our Lord to return to the earth, re-enter their own bodies, and thus render a solemn and impressive testimony to the truth. It was at this moment that so many dead persons left their tombs in Jerusalem. I regarded them less in the light of dead persons risen again than as corpses put in motion by a divine power, and which, after having fulfilled the mission entrusted to them, were laid aside in the same manner as the insignia of office are taken off by a clerk when he has executed the orders of his superiors. I next saw our Lord with his triumphant procession enter into a species of purgatory, which was filled with those good pagans who, having had a faint glimmering of the truth, had longed for its fulfillment. This purgatory was very deep and contained a few demons compelled to confess the deception they had practiced with regard to these idols, and the souls of the poor pagans cast themselves at the feet of Jesus and adored him with inexpressible joy. Here, likewise, the demons were bound with chains and dragged away. I saw our Savior perform many other actions, but I suffered so intensely at the same time that I cannot recount them as I should have wished. Finally, I beheld him approach to the center of the great abyss, that is to say, to hell itself, and the expression of his countenance was most severe. The exterior of hell was appalling and frightful. It was an immense, heavy-looking building, and the granite of which it was formed, although black, was of metallic brightness, and the dark and ponderous doors were secured with such terrible bolts that no one can behold them without trembling. Deep groans and cries of despair might be plainly distinguished even while the doors were tightly closed. But oh, who can describe the dreadful yells and shrieks which burst upon the ear when the bolts were unfastened and the doors flung open? And oh, who can depict the melancholy appearance of the inhabitants of this wretched place? The form under which the heavenly Jerusalem is generally represented in my visions is that of a beautiful and well-regulated city, and the different degrees of glory to which the elect are raised are demonstrated by the magnificence of their palaces, or the wonderful fruit and flowers with which the gardens are embellished. Hell is shown to me under the same form, but all within it is on the contrary close, confused, and crowded. Every object tends to fill the mind with sensations of pain and grief. The marks of the wrath and vengeance of God are visible everywhere. Despair, like a vulture, gnaws every heart, and discord and misery reign around. In the heavenly Jerusalem, all is peace and eternal harmony. The beginning, fulfillment, and end of everything is an end of every being, pure and perfect happiness. The city is filled with splendid buildings, decorated in such a manner as to charm every eye and enrapture every sense. The inhabitants of this delightful abode are overflowing with rapture and exultation, the gardens gay with lovely flowers, and the trees covered with delicious fruits which give eternal life. In the city of hell, nothing is to be seen but dismal dungeons, dark caverns, frightful deserts, fetid swamps filled with every imaginable species of poisonous and disgusting reptile. In heaven you behold the happiness and peaceful union of the saints, in hell perpetual scenes of wretched discord.